So we are continuing our series called Building. We just got through kind of our sub-series called Blueprints. And if you know anything about blueprints, you know they're really important for a project, right? Without the blueprints, without the instructions, then you're doomed for failure. I've learned this very on in my construction career. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have a construction career, but you know, I have learned a few things, a few tips and tricks from my father-in-law that has saved me a lot of time by knowing exactly what I'm doing before I start building. I'm one of those that's guilty of building things on the fly without any kind of plans of what's going to happen, and that often turns out disastrous. So blueprints are important for building. But if you missed any of those messages up to this point, you can get caught up at theproject.church. And so we talked all about blueprints in that series. But today, we're going to move on from the building phase, right? So we had demo day, and then we had blueprints. So we had to know what we were building. And now we're moving on to something new, which is called foundation. Foundations are really important. They're very, very important. And so if you remember when we started this building message series, Carrie brought what? What'd she bring with her? That's for kids. What? Legos. Okay, let's check it out. All right, this is where we're at right now. This is the foundation of this Lego set, right? You see the instructions, the blueprints behind. But this is the foundation of this Lego set. And you can see that it's very important. It's very important that she gets the foundation correct for this building, right? What happens when you have Lego sets and you don't get the foundation right? Everything else from that point is messed up. And if you do finally somehow magically build it without the right pieces, it will fall. It will fall. You know, it's great to have blueprints because you've got to have those blueprints in order to make the structure, in order to build something, in order to have something in mind on what you're going to build. It's great to have those blueprints, but if you get the foundation wrong, it doesn't matter if you've had blueprints or not. Why? Because if there's a crack in your foundation, everything will come tumbling down. We've got to get the foundation right in order for everything else to stand. And our Christian foundation is the exact same. It's the exact same. We have to have our foundation right when it comes to our faith. Otherwise, at the first little sign of a strong wind or the first little sign of a storm, everything will come crashing down. In fact, Jesus used this very example in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." What's rock? It's a good foundation, right? "When the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. The rock is good. And everyone who hears the words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house." And what happened? It fell down. It fell down. Why did it fall? It didn't have a foundation. They built it on sand. What kind of foundation is sand, right? Have you ever built a sandcastle on the beach, right? What's the foundation of your sandcastle? Sand. What happens when the waves come in? Washes it right away, right? Today we're diving into this message series because it's designed as a basis of our faith, our Christian faith. We've got some things that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks that are the building blocks, the foundational items that we have to get right in our Christian faith in order to have a strong, strong relationship with Christ. And in order to have our faith stay strong every single day when we wake up. So how many decisions have you made this week? Steve says none. Asia said a lot. Steve, you are a lucky man. We all make them every day, right? We make decisions every single day. And we make a lot of decisions every single day. I should have looked at the statistics on how many we actually make, but I'm sure it's staggering. So this week you've made decisions, and it may have been simple as what I'm going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It may have been as simple as where I'm going to go eat lunch today. It may have been as simple as where I'm going to buy my groceries this week. Like, all these decisions, they're simple decisions, right? They're easy decisions. But then we have decisions in our life that are complicated, right? We may have made decisions this week like, where am I going to work? Maybe I'm without work. Where am I going to work? Where am I going to find a better paying job? Maybe you made a decision this week that was really difficult. I don't know what it might have been. But every single day we make decisions, and they can be as simple or as complicated as you want them to be. But these decisions that we make on a daily basis, do they really affect our lives in the overall grand scheme of things? Like the little small decisions we make every single day? They do. They do. Sometimes, that's right. Sometimes they do. But let me ask you this. Does the decision itself make a difference in our overall lives? No. No, it doesn't. Why? You make 35,000 of them per day? Someone else? Why don't decisions make a difference in our lives? Bingo. No actions. You get a gold star. Someone get him a gold star. Action. Action. I can't tell you how many times Carrie and I have finally decided where we're going to go eat, right? Like, we've been sitting in the car, we've been talking, we've been having conversation, and we're like, I want this, no, I want this, no, I want this. And then we finally come to this decision, and we're like, that's where we're going to go eat, right? So we get in the car, we drive to the restaurant, and we walk up to the door, and guess what? They're closed, right? So then you have to make another decision. And so then you're like, okay, now what do you want to eat? Well, I don't know. Let's just pick something up and go home or whatever. But then you finally decide on another restaurant. You go to that restaurant. And in order to actually make the decision into an action, you have to drive to that other restaurant. You have to open the door. You have to have a seat. Someone has to wait on you. You have to give them your drink order. You have to give them your food order. You have to wait for them to bring the food to your table. And then you finally get to consume the food that you were so hungry for in the first place, right? So the decision itself to actually go to the restaurant did nothing for my hunger, did it? It may have made it worse, absolutely, because now I didn't get the first thing that I wanted. Now I'm moving on to plan B. But those decisions that we made in the very beginning to go get something to eat at XYZ restaurant, whatever the restaurant is, did nothing for our hunger. We actually had to get up, get dressed, get in the car, drive to the restaurant. There were all these other little action steps that we had to take to get from that point of decision to the point where our bellies were full. And just like that, that's true of our Christian faith as well. Making a decision to simply follow Christ isn't going to make a difference in your life. Now, that's shocking to some of you, right? You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, wait a minute, Matt. You're saying just making a decision to follow Christ isn't good enough? No, it's not. You have to take action steps. Just like every other thing in your life, you have to take action steps. Guess what? I want to lose weight. Shocker, right? Have I taken action steps to lose weight? No, I have not. Am I magically going to lose weight tomorrow? No, I am not going to magically lose weight tomorrow. Why? Because I've done absolutely nothing to take action steps to get me from point A to point B. And just like that, a lot of times we make these decisions. We wake up in the morning, we're like, God, I'm going to follow you today. You just wait and see, man. I'm gonna follow you. This is gonna be awesome. God, it's just me and you today. Like, we got this. We're gonna go in strong. And then, like, the first decision you make is to, like, flip somebody off in traffic, right? It's like, what action steps have you taken? God's like, come on, man. Like, you made the decision first thing this morning. That was 10 minutes ago, dude. You couldn't wait 10 minutes? There's no action. There's no action. And that's what drives me so crazy. A lot of times these Christians, we're like, well, God, I guess I'm just going to decide to follow you. And when you come and you take me, then I'll be free of all of this mess of this world and all these worldly things that happen around me. So, God, I'm just here. If you want to take me now, that'd be fantastic. So I can be with you, God. And I'm like, dude, what world are you living in? Come on, wake up. Let's make some decisions. Come on, let's take some action steps. Like, let's let our faith become actions. Because if we want to see change in our lives, if we want to see change in the world around us, if we want to see change in our community, we have to stop messing around with decisions and take action. Matthew 4:18-22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting their nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. Let's think about that for a minute. Okay, so we've got these guys, and they're out on this boat, and they're fishing. How many people like to fish? Fishermen? Good. It's most of you. And you're out fishing, and you're on this boat, and you got these nets, and you're casting these nets out, and you're fishing all day long. You're having a good time, right? Maybe this is your livelihood, and so you're trying to catch fish so you can sell them at the market. And this random dude walks up, and he's on the beach. He's like, hey, guys, follow me. And they're like, okay. You see, they had a decision to make, didn't they? Do they follow this strange man who's just walked up all of a sudden and said, hey, guys, follow me? Or do they continue doing what they were doing to make a livelihood for themselves, to continue to support their mouths and feed themselves and make some money for themselves, right? They had a decision to make, and what did they do? They went into action, didn't they? They left it all behind. They left their father, they left their mother, they left their fishing boats, they left their nets, they left the fish in that moment that was probably on the boat to sell in the market. They left it all in a moment, and they followed after Christ. Now, this is crazy to me because these guys, they're not holy. They're not priests. They're not some sort of biblical scholar, right? These are just normal guys that are on some sort of sea and they're fishing. And Christ is like, hey, guys, follow me. And they do it. They follow after him. And they obviously become disciples of Christ, right? And they take action and they follow him. And the important part of this is that they take action. They take action in a moment. In a moment. It's a split decision. There's no thinking about it. There's no turning back. There is no second decision. They're like, okay, let's go. And they go. Like, that's what the scriptures tell us. Like, maybe there's more to the story that the scripture's not telling us. It's just like, let's cut to the important part, right? Like, they followed after him. That's the important part. Maybe there was more to it. Maybe there was more hesitation. But the way that the scripture tells me that it reads is like they just left it. And they went and they took action. You see, Jesus was not after the super religious or the super qualified. He was after supernatural transformation. That's what he desired. That's what he wanted. He didn't want to take somebody that was super religious with them. Why? Because he was going to have to retrain them. He's going to have to teach them a whole new system, right? I used to joke around with, I ran sound way back in the day, and we always had analog boards, and it had the little things that you turned or whatever, and everything's transitioned to like digital sound now, right? And I always joked around because I'm like, it's really difficult for me to teach someone who's been running analog sound to run digital sound. It's actually easier for me to teach someone who doesn't know anything about sound to run a digital board, right? Because they don't know the old system. They don't know the old ways. And in the same way, like, I believe Christ is like, you know what? I don't want anybody super religious. I don't want a scholar. I don't want anybody that already knows all of the laws and is perfect. I don't want someone that's perfect. Why? Because it's going to be easier for me to teach them this new system, this new way of living, if they just simply follow me and watch me and do what I do. Right? They're not going to ask me a ton of questions about, well, now Jesus, now law 379 says that blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, dude, come on. Like, this is, I'm showing you something new, man. Quit quoting laws at me. Like, let's just go. Let's take action. He was after supernatural transformation out of these guys. We see another story in Mark 10, 17 through 31. It says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him and knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commands. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. You must honor your mother and father. Teacher, the man replied, I have obeyed these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away very sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? This amazed them. But Jesus said, dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were astonished. Then, who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Then Peter began to speak up. We've given everything up to follow you, he said. Yes, Jesus said. And I assure you that everyone who has given up a house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, property, along with any possession along with persecution. And in the world, come to that person will have eternal life. But many who are great now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be great then. See, once again, we have another scenario where Jesus now is being approached by a man, right? Like, he's not going out and seeking these guys, but now these guys are coming to him and saying, okay, God, like, I want to follow, like, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to give you my heart, man. I'm ready to do it. Let's do this thing. What is it going to take for me to follow you? And Jesus is like, okay, go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then you can follow me. And he's like, No, I'm not going to do that because I have all of these possessions and they're my possessions and I worked really hard for them. And I've devoted my life to having these possessions and it's my livelihood. And you don't understand because I need this money. I need this support. I need whatever else it is. Like, I have to have this and I don't know that I can leave it behind. You see, in this scenario, Christ is saying, follow me. The rich young ruler says, God, I want to follow you. He made a decision to follow Christ, but he didn't take any action to do it. And he went away sad, didn't he? He went away sad because he didn't take action. The question today is, how many of us are willing to take action? How many of us are willing to give up the things that God asks us to give up? And I'm not telling you that God's telling you to like give your all of your money to the poor or to sell all your cars and possessions. Like, this was one guy, right? This is one guy in scripture that was rich, and he's asking Jesus what in that moment he can do to follow after him. And he's like, well, all the other disciples, well, they gave up everything. So if you do the same thing, you can follow me too, right? Jesus in the previous scripture also said that it's humanly impossible to be saved on our own. You see, it takes God intervening to make it happen, but we have to be willing to take action to maintain the relationship with him. It's a two-way relationship with God. This is why simply making a decision to follow Christ is not enough. It's not enough to follow him. We have to be willing to leave behind our old ways, our old nature, and our old selves. We have to be willing to let go of the things in our lives that are getting ahead of God. And if that is our finances, if we're letting our finances get ahead of God, in other words, if we're only seeking financial safety, if that's more important to us than a relationship with God, then maybe you just need to let go of that financial security and give it to God. And let him take care of that for you. Does that make sense? You know, there's a lot of us that we want to surrender our selfish natures, and we want to surrender ourselves, and then we get to God and we're like, okay, God, like I need you, like I need your help, and you list off these things in your life that you need help with, but then you're the one that's going out and you're actually trying to provide for yourself. And so you're actually, what you're saying to God is, God, I don't actually need you. Like, I'm going to pray and say that I want this thing. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to say that I need financial security. I'm going to pray to you, and I'm going to say that I need this thing that's in my life. I need healing or whatever it is. And then we try to take it upon ourselves, and we say, okay, God, I'm praying for this, but also, like, I'm going to work 6 jobs, and I'm not going to sleep, and I'm not going to go to church, and I'm not going to pray to you, and I'm not going to read scriptures, and I'm not going to do any of these things because I'm too busy working because, God, I've got to have this financial security, right? So I'm going to work 6 jobs, and I'm not ever going to do anything else, and I'm not going to have a life, and I'm not going to hang out with other Christians, right? And then we start complaining, and we're like, God, I'm lonely. Well, yeah, you have 6 jobs because you don't trust God with your financial security, right? We have to take action. We have to surrender to him. You see, Christ gave us some perfect examples in the New Testament of taking action. And when we spend time with him, and we'll go through some of this stuff as we move forward in this series, but when we begin to spend time with him, that's when we begin to take these action steps to get closer and closer and closer to him. But one of those action steps that we have and something that Jesus modeled for us is baptisms. In Matthew 13:3-17, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, which is what all of us would say. And do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill righteousness. Then John consented. He's like, okay, fine. I'll do it. I'll baptize you. And so as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, the heavens opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Can you imagine being at Jesus' baptism? Like, that would be super weird, right? You'd be sitting there, and then, like, Jesus goes under, he gets dunked, he comes back up, and all of a sudden his eyes are, like, huge because he's seeing these crazy things coming from heaven, and everyone else is just kind of looking around like, what is he seeing right now? Like, what's going on, right? It would be super trippy. I love that little part of scripture in there because it's, like, this really crazy moment that Jesus has. Sorry, I'm weird. Moving on. The sacrament of forgiveness is baptism, not because it operates a jurisdictional removal of guilt, but because it is baptism into Christ who is forgiveness. In other words, when we're baptized, it's an action step that we take to show others that we're following after Christ. It is that action step of salvation. You see, simply making a decision to follow after Christ isn't enough. It is in a sense, but the baptism part of it is an actual physical action towards Christ. It's showing others that you are deciding to follow after Christ. It's taking that action step and moving your relationship with God forward. Am I telling you that if you're not baptized and you make a decision and tomorrow you die, like you're going to hell? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. But that baptism is an action step that we can take. And sometimes it's embarrassing. Sometimes we feel weird. How many of you have been baptized? Okay, how many of you were baptized, and when you were baptized, you felt super awkward standing up there in a tank of water getting dunked? Thank you. Okay, now look around the room, and you can see how many people in this room were baptized, and it was super awkward, right? Because it's a super awkward thing. Standing in front of a ton of people, and then you're like in this tank of water, and then some dude like puts his massive hand over your face and like shoves you under the water. Right? That's an awkward thing, people. It is. It is. But we see Christ as a model, right? We see him as a model, as an example of the things that we should do. And one of the action steps that Jesus chose to take was to be baptized in water. Now, here's what's important to remember about baptisms and about salvation. It's not a removal of guilt. It's not a removal of guilt. It's a transformation of yourself. It's the beginning stages of having a relationship with God. It is the beginning stages of that relationship with him, and through your salvation, you are saved by grace through faith, right? But it doesn't remove your guilt. The guilt of your past, of your mistakes, of your history, is still going to be there. How do you remove that? Action. Action steps, right? Asking for forgiveness for those who you've wronged. Taking action steps to make yourself better every single day. Getting rid of the habits of the things that you've done before that you're ashamed of. Doing those small things every single day will begin to remove that guilt. But that guilt stays there for a reason, right? It's a reminder of our old selves, because baptism is a symbol of becoming something new. It's a renewal of your spirit. You went down one person and you came up a new person, right? But it's a super weird situation because you're this new person, but then you remember all the nasty things you've done before. It's like you're living another life, but you remember someone else's life before you that was way worse, right? And so that's where that relationship with God comes into play, because he begins to speak to you, he begins to talk to you, he begins to comfort you, he begins this relationship with you and gives you action steps to go out into the world and take to begin this process of renewing our spirits. Because we have to get rid of that guilt, right? Like there's this thing sitting on our chest and we have to deal with it. And until we deal with it, we're not truly following after God, because he's asking us to do something and we're not taking action steps to do it. So, what are some other actions? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about through this whole message series. There's those action steps that we can take every single day to become closer to God. But my encouragement to you today is to find those action steps that he desires for you and take them. Now, if baptism is something that you haven't experienced yet, it's something that you haven't done, we would love to talk to you about baptisms. We would love to go through that process with you. And so if that's you in this room today and I'm not gonna do anything weird, just find me or Carrie following service today, and we can have that conversation and get you signed up for baptisms. But for the rest of us in this room, I think there's probably some action steps that God is asking us to take. And maybe we're just a little bit hesitant to take those action steps because we're not exactly sure what will happen when we take them. But we're going to bow our heads, close our eyes, and we're going to take just a moment to be with him. Father God, we're so thankful. We're thankful because we can come to you, God, and we can just make this decision to follow after you. And God, you begin this one-on-one relationship with us. You begin to speak to us. You begin to deal with our guilt and with our sins and with the things that lay heavy on us, God. But we're also thankful, God, that you've given us this ability as humans to take these action steps to not only grow closer to you, but God, to free ourselves from the things that are holding us down. Because it's those things like guilt and pride and anger. It's those things, God, that hold us down, that don't allow us to truly be freed in this life. To be able to wake up in the morning, God, and be freed from those sins, from our selfish nature, God. And so I pray today, God, that you would begin to reveal to each and every one of us the action step that you have for us. God, maybe it's baptisms. Maybe that's the action step we need to take today. God, maybe it's dealing with our anger. Maybe it's finding a close friend and having a conversation about those moments when we get angry or those moments when we blow up, so that they can help us walk through this situation together. God, maybe it's a habit that we need to take an action to end. Maybe our action step, God, is to go out and to find a new job and get away from a bad situation. God, maybe an action step is to begin a new life in you and to ask for forgiveness and to be saved. God, whatever those action steps are today in our lives, God, I pray that we wouldn't hesitate. I pray that we wouldn't wait any longer. God, I pray that today in this moment as we begin to cry out to you, God, that you would begin to deal with those issues in our heart, God, because those are our heart issues. God, that we would be able to just cleanse ourselves of those sins, cleanse ourselves of those hurtful things that are in our way, God, so that we can begin to build a better foundation in you. So we can begin this process of repairing those cracks in our foundation so that, God, we can not just build a little, but, God, that we can build a lot in you. Because, God, you have designed each and every one of us with a purpose and with a design in mind. And, God, some of us are stuck at the foundation stage. But now it's time to grow. And it's time to build. And it's time to rely on you. God, if maybe the people in this room, there's people in this room that haven't begun that relationship with you, God, I pray that right now in this moment that they would just cry out to you and ask for forgiveness of their sins. God, and start that new relationship with you. If that's you in this room today, all you have to do is ask God into your heart. Make that decision today to follow after him. But then your action step is to come find someone in this room today who is a follower of Christ so that you can begin that process of taking action steps to grow closer to him. So God, we love you. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in and through our lives. And through these action steps, God, I pray that we could become stronger together. And it's all this we ask in your holy name. Amen.